This is the Dive Into Malaysia Travel Podcast, episode 22, with Dive Into Malaysia founder, Sharon Goulet. In today's episode, I'm discussing everything Pangkor Island. Located off the west coast of Malaysia in the state of Perak, Pangkor Island often sits in the shadow of other more developed islands like Penang and Langkawi, which are further up the coast. However, Pangkor Island offers its own unique experience for visitors. It's a great place to take a relaxing getaway with fabulous beaches. It's a small island with a population of around 20,000 people, which can only be accessed by ferry. This gives the island a feeling of isolation and community. But despite this relative isolation, I found Pangkor to be surprisingly lively, with a local feeling missing on most Malaysian islands I've visited. This is where people live and work and not just come to lie on a beach, although the latter is very easy to do. And I really like this local feel. Many people visit for the hornbills and the stunning beaches, but there are more things you can add to your itinerary. In this episode, I'm discussing why you should visit Pangkor Island, what to do when you're there, and where to stay. There's not all that much information about Pangkor Island out there, and I'm excited to share my experiences with you. By the end of this episode, you'll be all set for a visit to Pangkor Island.
Welcome to the Dive Into Malaysia Travel Podcast, the place to be when you're dreaming and planning all the awesome adventures you could have in Malaysia. Each week on the show, your host Sharon will take you from underwater adventures in one of Malaysia's marine parks to standing on top of the world in Merdeka 118 in KL to eating the best food you'll experience in your life at a hawker centre to planning how to get from A to B and where to stay. It's all here.
So today, we're talking about Pangkor Island. But before we dive into everything Pangkor Island, remember, you can find today's show notes at diveintomalaysia.com/episode22. This has the links to everything I talk about and further information to help you plan your trip. If you have any questions or want to learn more about traveling in Malaysia, make sure you also join us in the Malaysia Travel Planning Facebook group. You can find this by simply typing malaysiaplanning.com into a browser and it will take you to the Facebook group. So, Pangkor Island, what do you need to know? In this episode, I'm covering an overview of the island, when to visit Pangkor Island, why you should visit there, how to get there, what to do once you arrive on Pangkor Island, and where to stay for a great visit. The name Pangkor actually comes from the Thai Pangko, which translates to beautiful island, which Pangkor certainly is. Now, it's actually a group of islands. Pangkor is the main one, and then there are three smaller ones. Pangkor Laut is the best known of these, thanks to being home to the fabulous Pangkor Laut Resort, which I'll talk about later. Pangkor Island is about 18 square kilometres big and located about 3.5 kilometres from the coast of Malaysia in the Straits of Malacca. About 100 kilometres west of Ipoh, which is the closest major city, and about 115 kilometres south down the coast from Penang. There is an airport here, but currently no flights are running, so you need to come here by ferry. It's quite a mountainous island, with the highest point, Pangkor Hill, being 1,216 metres high. Now, Pangkor actually started as a centre for piracy. Many ships that came through were taken over or robbed of their goods. The Dutch were quite active along here during the reign of the Dutch East India Company. The tin industry was also very active in this area, which you can learn all about if you go to Ipoh. In 1670, the Dutch built a fort on Pangkor that you can still visit today to help control this tin trade. In 1874, this was where a historical treaty between the British government and the Sultan of Perak took place, which was the start of British control in the Malay Peninsula. Today, tourism and fishing are the main industries on the island. This island has duty-free status, which attracts a lot of local visitors. When it comes to considering the best time to visit Pangkor Island, like just about everywhere in Malaysia, it's hot and humid year-round and rainfall can happen at any time. But luckily for Pangkor, the island of Sumatra is nearby and it helps shield the island from the extremes of the wet season. But if you want to avoid the wettest months, they happen at the end of the year from October to December, and the driest are June to September, as well as February. The hottest months are also mid-year, but it's really okay to visit here at any time. I last visited in October, a wet month anyway, and there was a La Nina, there was a lot of rain, but I didn't feel like it ruined my time. So why visit? It's a really pretty island with great beaches, good food, and it feels much more local than most islands I've visited in Malaysia. While it can get a lot of tourists, when I was there, they were all local tourists, and I liked being somewhere that felt well away from the beaten track that foreigners take in Malaysia. We still had a lot of great tourist infrastructure thanks to the local tourists, which made things easy. If you want to compare it to other islands, it doesn't compare to the culture, variety and food you can find in Penang, or just how pretty the beaches are in Langkawi or the East Coast Islands. But this isn't to say it isn't pretty and the beaches aren't great. There's just very stiff competition. It is definitely a pretty island that if you want to see natural attractions like beaches and jungle, it's here. It's definitely for people who want to go somewhere a little less popular, who want a local feel to their island trip, or who are looking for an island away from the touristy Penang and Langkawi when the East Coast islands are shut during the monsoon. So now you're convinced you should go, how do you get there? Like I mentioned before, you do need to catch a ferry. There is a small island on Pangkor, but currently no flights are running there. And even when they are, they can only take little planes. So probably you're going to travel overland. Catching a ferry is easy from either Lumut or Marina Islands in Peninsula Malaysia. Lumut can be the winner because the ferry terminal is just a few minutes walk from the bus station where you can easily catch buses to KL or other parts of Malaysia. Ferries also run more regularly from here, especially during the week, usually about hourly and take 35 to 40 minutes. Marina Island can be a better option if you are driving or taking a taxi here, as the ferry time is quicker because it's closer to Pangkor. So overall, going by Marina Island can be faster. Now, ferries from here only take about 10 minutes, but they don't tend to run very often, but it really depends on the day of the week and what's happening. So weekends, they run a lot more often. During the week, not so much. I accidentally travelled to Pangkor last year at the start of a long weekend, and it was crazy busy in Marina Island. Ferries were running every 15 minutes, but they were so full, and I turned up without a ticket, which was a big mistake because it was a little complicated getting one there as well. So I had to wait an hour and a half to get on the next one. But definitely check the schedules before you go, and definitely think about booking a ticket before you go. That was definitely a mistake I made. But schedules from here only tend to be out a week in advance. Now, either option is quite straightforward. It's not like one is clearly the best. It's all fine. There is plenty of information on these photos of the ferries, exactly where to go to get to the terminal and to walk between the bus station and the ferry at Lumut in my guide to getting to Pangkor Island, which you can find linked to in the show notes. Now, to get to the ferry by public transport, your best bet is to get a bus to Lumut. Don't worry about Marina Island, just go to Lumut if you're taking public bus. They live from many places in Peninsula Malaysia, especially around the West Coast, Kuala Lumpur, and from Singapore. You can also take a private taxi from anywhere that we can book for you if you go to malaysiataxi.com. So we can book you a private taxi from Singapore or anywhere in Peninsula Malaysia. The closest airport is in Ipoh, and on my last trip, I actually flew there from Johor Bahru and then took a taxi straight from the airport to Marina Island. So that was very easy to do. So you're in Pangkor Island. Now what? Well, the first thing you'll notice when you get here is that the taxis are vans that are pink. Pangkor is known for its pink taxis, and they add a bit of fun to exploring here. You'll need to take these to get around, and it's great if you're a family or a group as they are relatively big, but by myself, they did feel like overkill. Anyway, you'll find these as soon as you arrive, waiting to drive you around. There are stands in the main towns as well as the ferry terminals where you can get one for a set price. There were boards clearly displaying these prices. Now, they are written in Malay, but as long as you know the name of the town you want to go to or the beach or something, it's easy to work out. You can also easily hire one by the hour for a round island tour, which is the best way to get out and see attractions. Now, all prices for these are in my guide, which is linked to in the show notes at diveintomalaysia.com/episode22. The number one thing to do here has got to be to go to a beach. If you don't like beaches, I'm not sure Pangkor Island is the place for you. I recommend staying near one so you can hit up the beach a lot. The main beaches are on the west coast, while most people live on the east coast. So you'll find that there's usually more accommodation options available on the west coast as well, with easy access to those beaches. I stayed by Pasir Bogar Beach and I went there a lot. It's a beautiful beach with soft sand, gorgeous water. I could bob around it. Everything you picture when you think Malaysia Beach. It's right by the main road and there are water sports here if you wish. Thankfully, there wasn't much water sports happening though, as I like my beaches peaceful, not worry about a boat taking me out. I really hate it. A lot of Thai islands I've been to where there's just so much boat transport, it's hard to enjoy the beach, which is definitely not the case here. I will add that I found the small waves a little too strong at the first place I tried near the main entrance to the beach, but I just walked 80 metres away, tried again, and then the water was perfect. So definitely if you hop in the first spot and you're like, oh, I didn't know there was a strong current here, just walk somewhere else. It'll be fine. There are also trees on parts of the beach, so it's easy to find some shade. I really like that. There's a bit of shade at the beach. I could hang my clothes on it when I was swimming. It was great. The main entrance has some snack and drink options. I had a great ABC ice treat here, which I drank on the beach, and honestly, I felt like I was in heaven. Another option for a beach is Teluk Nipah. This is another relatively developed option with nearby resorts, food stores, and water activities on offer. This is to the north of Pasir Boga, and while it is prettier, in my opinion, it was also much busier when I visited, so I didn't like it as much. What I did really like about Teluk Nipa is that the restaurants line the beach with the main road cutting right alongside them. This led to a crazy busy main road. Everything was sort of on top of each other, but it did mean you could easily eat dinner while watching the sunset, whereas the beach in Pasir Boga is a little bit removed from the main road and there's not like restaurants lining that. So you're either on the beach or you're on the main road and go to a restaurant there, if that makes any sense. Whereas on Teluk Nipa, you can eat right by the beach. So it is a popular spot for sunset. There are also many other great beaches like Coral Beach, where you can find the best snorkeling. Although Pangkor isn't really the place to head for divers or snorkelers, but if you want to dive, try out Pulau Sembilan. And if you want to go kayaking, jet skiing, or go on a banana boat or other water sports, there's a few beaches with options. You won't have trouble finding that. Now, once you get some beach time out of your system, definitely go explore more of the island. The attractions are quite low key. I wouldn't say there's anything you have to go to. It's more like some nice things to go see, learn a bit about the culture. The religious practices are more on the island. And you can hire a pink taxi for half a day and explore most of them. I'm going to go through the majority of the main choices, but you can find more in my complete guide of things to do in Pangkor Island, which is linked to in the show notes. The Dutch Fort is somewhere you'll want to head. As I stated earlier, it was built in the 17th century to help the Dutch control the tin trade. At one time, they had 60 soldiers here. And what remains today is a restoration of the old fort, but it has been faithfully restored using stones from the old ruins. And it does lack a roof, as the original plan for the roof is unknown. It doesn't take long to check out, and then you can stroll to the nearby Batu Berserat, or Sacred Rock. This is of significance because of the graffiti etched into the stone. Many people say one of the inscriptions in the rock appears to be a tiger eating a child, which you can imagine has spawned its own local legends. However, it's more likely that this is an inscription of the Dutch coat of arms left by soldiers stationed nearby. Not quite as an exciting story, though. Not far from here is Masjid Terapung, a floating mosque which looks stunning over the water. It's worth checking out and you can enter when it isn't prayer time if you're suitably dressed. Another mosque definitely worth taking a peek at is Masjid Sungai Pinang Kecil. It's in Chinatown and it's really quite an interesting mix of Chinese oriental design and Islamic features. I haven't seen a mosque quite like it before because it does look quite Chinese while still looking like a mosque. It's also possible to visit here outside of prayer times. While you're in the Chinatown area, you definitely should also stop at the nearby Taoist Fu Lin Kong Temple. This is really the highlight of the area, in my opinion. What makes Fu Lin Kong Temple interesting is the gardens. You'll find a turtle pond, the Rock of Fate, a mini replica of the Great Wall. The inside of the temple is also worth seeing, as it is embellished with Buddha statues and Taoist relics. It's fun to walk around. It's on a bit of a hill, so you get a little bit of a workout. This also means there's some great views, and it was my favourite attraction in Pangkor after the beaches. There's also a Hindu temple nearby worth checking out. Now, the main towns on the island are Pangkor Town and SVK if you want to check out where the locals live or try some more local food that's a little cheaper. And if you want to get back to nature, there is some great jungle trekking on Pangkor, but you'll want to be prepared for it. It can be quite challenging. The jungles of Pangkor are virgin and beautiful, and the main track is up to Bukit Pangkor, which is the biggest mountain. Partly paved and partly jungle terrain. You'll find stone markings along the way every few hundred metres to help make sure you go the right way. And the path can be quite steep, but there are resting spots as well. From the top, you'll get some great views, but then you'll have to get ready for going back down because it can actually be more challenging. I recommend that once you're at the top, you do follow the same path back instead of trying to take a different one because it can just get a little confusing. Leeches are also quite common along here, so make sure you're prepared for that. For a different natural attraction that's much easier to enjoy, Pangkor is famous for its hornbills. Now, these are a brilliantly beaked bird native to this area. They're quite distinctive looking. If you haven't seen one before, definitely go check out my guide and look for a photo so you can look out for it. Now, Pangkor has a lot of them, so keep a lookout. And a great place to see them is at Sunset View Chalet at Sunset. Located near Teluk Nipa Beach on the west coast, Sunset View Chalet hosts daily feeding events at sunset where you can see the hornbill, watch them feed, and even offer them food yourself. It's like a great way to see a whole bunch of them. So let's talk about accommodation. There are plenty of hotel choices, mostly mid-range on this island, and you can find a full hotel guide for all budgets in the show notes at diveintomalaysia.com/episode22. If I have a personal complaint about the main Pengal Island, it's that there isn't a top-class resort with a fabulous pool and facilities, because I love myself a fabulous resort. The upside is that the island just isn't developed that much. There are plenty of Malaysian standard mid-range hotels, which are fine and they can offer great value. I stayed at the AVI Pengal Beach Resort last year, which was opposite the beach, had a nice pool and is quite new. It was a great price for what I got, but it had the complaint I often have of mid-range Malaysian hotels, in that it wasn't soundproof very well. So for a light sleeper like me, I didn't like hearing the traffic noise. I could hear anyone in the hallway. Like little things that don't bother a lot of people, but it's what I always find a little challenging in what I would call like a Malaysian standard mid-range hotel. If you want a luxury resort experience, you don't have to go far though. You won't find it on the main island, but Pengkor Layout Resort is definitely one of the best resorts in Malaysia. It is amazing. And it's located on its own island, which is maybe its best and worst feature. It's beautiful to be away from it all. You'll definitely feel like it there. It's a stunning island. It has an absolutely stunning beach. I had like some of the best sunset drinks ever on that beach. There's plenty of jungle and it really is beautiful. But if you want a local experience, you certainly won't get it here. Only the resort is on the island, and while you can see the main Pengkor Island from the resort, you'd have to pay a high price for a transfer to get over and see things on Pengkor. In fact, that is what I didn't like about the resort, the high prices. While the accommodation is definitely superb, there's a great pool, great facilities, I really have no complaints about the resort apart from how much everything cost when I got there. I thought the price I paid for the room was very fair and definitely worth it. Then you have to pay a lot to get the transfer there on the ferry, even though it's very quick. The food and drinks are very expensive and the activities are expensive too. So, I mean, all that's fine if that's what the hotel wants to do, right? Just be prepared for it. And if you have the budget, I highly recommend it. It's worth it. You won't be sorry you spent the money. Now, I have a full review on this island resort, including a video and tons of photos that you can find in the show notes. Staying here is definitely a very different experience to on Pengkor. So if you can, do what I did and try both. Stay on the Pengkor Layout Resort for a couple of nights, then go stay on Pengkor Island for a couple of nights and get the best of both worlds. Overall, I recommend you stay 3 nights on Pengkor Island. This gives you a day to explore and a day to relax and your arrival and departure days to not stress. Now, if you're really short on time and you aren't much of a beach person and like to be busy when traveling, 2 nights would also be fine, right? You could see a lot of the attractions I talked about in half a day, so you still have some beach time, you can still not stress. I also highly recommend a couple of nights at Pengkor Layout Resort if you can. So that's it. That's everything Pengkor Island. Remember, if you have any questions, join us in the Facebook group, which you can find at malaysiaplanning.com, and ask away. To recap, today I gave you an overview of Pengkor Island. We discussed why you should visit, how to get there, what to do once you are there, and where to stay. Remember, you can find the show notes for this episode at diveintomalaysia.com/episode22. Make sure you subscribe to this channel, because next episode I'm talking all about the best accommodation in Malaysia, from private island accommodation like Pengkor Layout Resort that I just talked about, which will definitely be featured, to KL City hotels and safari resorts. I'm going to run you through some of the most fabulous places to stay in Malaysia. So if you're planning a trip and looking for some luxurious experiences, make sure you listen. I look forward to chatting with you then.
Thanks for listening to Dive Into Malaysia Travel. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast for more travel inspiration, planning advice, and fun about traveling in Malaysia. Don't forget to leave a review so we can continue to bring you the best content. See you next episode.